Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. Who am I? I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by Laurie Blake.
Hello, mate.
How are you?
How's it going? Good. Not well, from the sounds of it.
Oh, it's been a long day, mate. And it's only 10 to 11 a.m., but I've been up for... I got up at 6:30 because I was like, well, the AEW podcast didn't fully process yesterday on YouTube, so I had to go do that and do all the back-end stuff for Quizzlemania because I'm also assuming that didn't work out. So I've been doing a lot of work already, mate, getting ready to brave Sainsbury's.
Oh dear.
But before we dive into all that exciting chat, let's get into the show itself, because there was unfortunately a lot of WWE releases this week and we're going to talk about what they could do next. Here is the show. Are going to kick off with what was probably the saddest news of... I mean, it's hard to say what the saddest news of the week was because, you know, the Fink died yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you'd had all this... It's been a bad week for WWE PR, I would certainly say.
Yeah, they've definitely not nailed it this week, have they?
No. But in all of that, we had the announcement on Wednesday that a lot of WWE staff had been released and furloughed. So a lot of backstage producers, including Billy Kidman, Lance Storm, The Hurricane, had all been furloughed, which basically means that they're getting part of their, you know, their check, their wage, and then once this is all blown over, they'll be brought back into the fold. Whereas the wrestlers, on the other hand, have been released. They've been released from their contracts. I would wager that some of them will probably be given an open door policy to come back once all of this has blown over, but... You know, it certainly remains to be seen. But, I mean, we haven't... So Ollie and I did a two-hour podcast about this on Wednesday night. Pete and I talked about it on the AEW show yesterday, but we haven't had your thoughts on this really yesterday, Laurie. But what are your thoughts on all of these releases?
I guess, like, I mean, a lot of people are saying that obviously it's a business decision and you can't really fault WWE for making it. I don't think that's the case. I think WWE are completely at fault for making it because, you know, so in certainly some of these cases, some of these people have wanted to leave for a while and have been angling to get their release, and WWE has stopped them because they are hoarding people to stop other companies having them. So then they thought that maybe... it definitely seems like they thought that they could now release people freely without the worry that they're going to go straight to the competition and bolster those programs, especially AEW, because AEW has filmed everything and AEW is not in a position probably to hire a bunch of people that have just been released. So I think it reads very maliciously, like, you know, I think that's kind of the vibe I get from this. It's a very cold and calculated move, and I think it's particularly poignant in cases like Sarah Logan, who they flew down to have her wrestle on Raw and get squashed and then ring her up to let her go a couple of days, 2 days later. Yeah, so they've put her health at risk to invite her down to appear on TV. So they needed her and they used her, and she you know, stepped up to the plate and played her part, and then they let her go at a time where there is no jobs for wrestlers anywhere in the world, basically. I just think that's really douchey. And I think the fact that they've also, in that same week, bribed the Florida governor so they can make wrestling an essential service. They've basically, in that same breath, made wrestling made wrestlers themselves key workers. Because if wrestling's an essential service and you work in an essential service, you are a key worker, and then they're letting people go who are now key workers. That would be like, you know, it's not obviously on that same level, but it's like firing nurses, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's the bracket we're talking about people in. People are going out the street in this country and clapping at 8 p.m. on a Thursday for all key workers. So that includes wrestlers in this weird world we live in.
Yeah. And as Ollie pointed out in yesterday's news episode, that if WWE had just, you know, used 1% of the money that they've got currently in reserves, that would pay this staff, you know, all of these released wrestlers for like the next 6 to 8 months, I think, or something along those lines. You know, the business side of things, I do kind of get why WWE do this. You know, it's a cost-cutting measure. Ollie and I talked about the death spike on the Wednesday show, but at the same time, when you look at the numbers, WWE were going to remain profitable this year, regardless of whether or not they get to put on shows.
Not even just profitable, record-breaking profitable.
They are
on track for the biggest profits they've ever had this year.
Yeah.
So I think that's what really, really sort of is a bit of a smack in the face. It's not even like they're going to make a loss or they're going to make a little bit less profit. They are going to make the most profit they've ever made.
It reminds me of that. What was the your man Bobby Kotick? Who's he in charge of?
Oh, Activision.
Activision, yeah, where they had like, you know, record-breaking profits last year. But they did not meet the expectations that they had told shareholders that the profits were going to be. So they fired loads of people.
To just make up those numbers, yeah.
Exactly. It's the sort of weird, weird world of business where the money is the most important thing and people's lives are secondary.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird corporate monsters.
Yeah. But we'll go through the list of people and kind of give some, you know, because as you said there, these guys and girls can't go straight into work. This is, you know, even with the 90-day non-competes that they'll likely all have, there's nowhere to work right now because AEW, as you said, have taped everything. We don't know what they're going to do once Double or Nothing is over. There's no indie shows being put on at the moment because indie shows can't afford to do any, you know, do any shows without fan attendance. Impact, I think, is still running some shows, but they're not really at the same time. Neither are Ring of Honor, neither are MLW. Mm-hmm. NWA are airing old content. So it's in a sort of very weird world where they are essentially now just in no man's land, where they have got nowhere to go. And one report that came out, I think it was last week, suggested that we might not be able to have fans in attendance for shows until late 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that means that, you know, for the next year or so, you know, for the next 18 months, these people are going to be without a check.
Yeah, and it is just nuts, isn't it? It's like, and you know, WWE was never a particularly a safety blanket for any wrestlers, considering they don't really give anyone health care and they don't do any, you know, they make them independent contractors so they can just fire them at any time. But it was more of a safety net than nothing, isn't it? But
it's a steady paycheck.
It's just a very weird time to choose to do stuff like this. And, you know, they clearly, like they said, like WWE wasn't really making, its profits aren't coming from gate anyway. Nowadays, that's coming from TV deals, and those are the things they need to, you know, those are the worries, those are the things they're concerned about losing, and that's why they've gone back to going live, because, you know, apparently there was only so many pre-taped shows a year they could even do of Raw and SmackDown. So they've had to go back to doing them live in order to save those TV deals, or at least stop Fox or USA from changing the deal and giving them less money, because that's a big risk and a big worry. So then I just feel like, but in a time where literally anyone could just get sick in very short order, and the kind of sick where you're not allowed to leave your house, you're not allowed to see anyone or do anything, surely you want more wrestlers on your roster. Surely you need more people to be like, we just need people to fill in the gaps, because there is going to be a point at which gaps appear. You know, WWE's already had two cases of coronavirus, right? So,
yeah, they certainly had one that we know of that was not an in-ring wrestler. Mm-hmm. It was someone who was just working for the company, but was in sort of like a... Well, it's speculated to be a commentator or a backstage interviewer, that sort of role, possibly even a referee. We are recording this in a period of time, though, where it looks like, you know, President Trump is going to be effectively reopening America and sort of encouraging sports to kind of like start up again. So perhaps...
Brilliant idea.
Well,
Mad's a genius.
Yeah. Well, this is what happens when you have a businessman in charge. So perhaps we, you know, come next week, come in 2 weeks' time, come in 2 months' time, America's doors will just be reopened again, and these, you know, guys and girls will have somewhere to work. Whether or whether it's a safe place to work is a different matter or not. But let's go through them one by one and sort of see where we think some of these people might go. So we'll start off with the NXT release of Deonna Purrazzo. There were quite a few NXT releases, but they were a lot of people who hadn't been on TV yet. Deonna Purrazzo, I feel, was like really the biggest name in the NXT releases. You know, she'd been featured on Raw, you know, this year.
Before as well she got as on, featured on NXT.
Before, you know, doing some stuff on NXT. So she does have some connections to the Elite and that group, because I think she basically chose going to NXT over doing All In. So there is every chance that she could go that way, and you know, AEW could certainly use some sort of women with some name recognition.
Yeah, I think AEW would be a good shout. I think, you know, she could also go to Ring of Honor, where Marty is. I think I'm assuming they're still going out.
Yeah,
this could have been part of the problem, right? Like, you know, I think the fact that Marty quite obviously turned WWE down at the coming to the end of his Ring of Honor contract. I'm not saying they are spiteful. I'm just saying I wouldn't put it past them. So, you know, this could be sort of part of that. And because I just think, like, they made quite a bit of fuss about getting her. You know, they had her and Chelsea Green in the crowd at either on one of the NXTs or on the TakeOver.
I think it was the first NXT on TV, wasn't it?
USA, yeah. So they showed them off in the crowd like they were these big gets. You know, the other people they've given that role to are Keith Lee, the current North American champion, and then they just didn't appear, like, you know, and they'd been there for ages as well before they even appeared in the crowd, and you get this kind of feeling that, like, she was always tied to Chelsea Green in NXT's eyes, and Chelsea Green got injured when she came in and she broke a wrist, and so she wasn't appearing on TV. They worked live shows together as a tag team. Then Chelsea Green debuts as the lead representative of the Robert Stone brand, the brand of one person, and they never signed Deonna. She never got to be part of that group, and then before, you know, as that's all playing out on NXT, she appears on Raw. Chelsea appeared on SmackDown or something, I think.
Yeah, I think she was on an episode of Raw. I think almost the same episode, or like, and certainly in a two-week span.
Yeah, because they had a WWE PC video about them both appearing on the set, like both appearing at the same sort of event. So they both appear at these shows, and Deonna just disappears. She appears in the Battle Royal. She has one match with Shotzi Blackheart to put over Shotzi, and that is it. That is all she wrote. I think she got a really, really bad Raw deal in WWE. I think for sheer virtue that NXT women's division is actually really strong, and it is the best women's division WWE have. So it's a very hard place, I think, to make any impact. And then obviously, when you go to Raw and SmackDown, they are only obsessed with two women at a time. And that's it, grand scheme of things. Like, you know, they only really have room for... They don't even have room for the tag team champions. They get to go on a pay-per-view, maybe. But that is it. So, I think she's had a tough time. But then, I think the options are definitely there for her, because I think people know that she's good, and I think she's definitely got friends in high places who could put in a good word for her.
Speaking of which, actually, Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins, who I forgot were former Raw Tag Team Champions. They won the belt at WrestleMania last year, if I remember correctly. You know, they also got their release. We all thought that, you know, them along with Heath Slater would just be WWE lifers. Yeah, Zack and Curt have always talked about how, like, this was their dream, this was their aim, was to be in WWE. And they were always listed as the kind of guys that didn't really mind that they weren't on TV or weren't being used, because they were just happy to be there. So it really sucks for them. But Zack in particular has always been said by Cody to be, like, the most underutilized guy in WWE. So I could certainly see, whether they go or not, it's a different matter, but I could certainly see Cody trying to get Zack to come in, whether that is as a wrestler or as an agent or in some sort of capacity. But they, you know, they themselves have got their own projects. They've got their podcast. I was actually just checking to see sort of how they're doing on Patreon. And I, from what I can gather, I think they're doing fairly well, because they've got their major brother, or the Major Wrestling Figure podcast. So I was just having a quick look to see if I can find out how many sort of Patreon backers they already have. Doesn't say. That's annoying. But from what I can gather, you know, they do pretty well for themselves on that. So they've got that to fall back on. If they don't really want to do any sort of wrestling, they can always just carry on doing their Wrestling Figure podcast.
Yeah, and I think there's probably, like, you know, there's a couple of options of things they could do here. They can do their podcast, and they've got their Patreons. They made that as a show for WWE at one point on the YouTube channel. So there is also the they might have been let go from their big WWE contracts as wrestlers, but they might come back in for some sort of, like, TV style deal to present that if WWE liked it and they want that as part of their suite of shows for YouTube, or if they want to make something else on the network. There's that sort of, they've definitely established themselves as presenters, and I think that's something that WWE quite likes, people who've had time in the company to come and do. You know, you've got Stone Cold doing the Broken Skull sessions, you've got Edge and Christian doing their show. Like, I think that there's the option there, but I also think, like, yeah, if Cody is so high on Zack Ryder, and they are really good friends, by all accounts, like, I just feel like it's beckoning, isn't it, AEW, at some point?
But I also think that these are two guys, along with Heath Slater, that the door is open. Like, this feels like it's probably an open door deal that, you know, we're releasing you for now, but once this is all blown over, you're always welcome to come back. But someone like a Heath, I could certainly see, you know, going to Impact. And Impact have always been a company that likes to sort of revive things that fans liked that WWE gave up on, like the Heath Slater and Rhino tag team. You know, I interviewed Rhino not too long ago, only a couple of weeks ago I spoke with Rhino, and he was talking about how much he really enjoyed working with Heath Slater, and he loved that tag team, and the fans really liked that tag team. He was telling me a story that even on house shows, the fact that even though they were never used on TV, they were still getting massive ovations at house shows, and were still being, like, they were still, like, hugely over. And he would read, like, the house show reports that are written by the agents that then get sent back to sort of Vince in the head office, saying, like, yeah, this team is really over. There's really something that we can do with this team. That's available in the podcast archives.
And they chose not to,
And they chose not to, yeah. So I could imagine that maybe, you know, Heath could go and get a run in Impact Wrestling, which is, you know, it's a good place for him.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? It's actually now, like, I think for some people, if an open door policy exists, there is actually now choice for people. Like, WWE has taken the shackles off and said, like, you know, you're probably gonna get the choice now at the end of this. Like, and it's obviously scary and difficult at this exact moment in time, and we don't know how long it's going to be this way for. But, you know, if AEW comes knocking for Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins and Heath Slater, you know, and says to them, like, we're going to do this with you, and WWE goes, well, you could come back here and you could just go back to being Curt Hawkins who never gets a win, maybe Curt Hawkins would be like, well, no, AEW's offering me a streak. Like, you know, like, they're offering me to be the like, you know, on the way to the championship. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but it'd be quite interesting to see Curt Hawkins as a character who wins.
Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, they've obviously already changed their names on their Twitter machines. And Carl Anderson has already teased a return to Japan. You know, he put up a video, I think it was either this morning or yesterday, that was basically just, you know, it was a picture of a plane flying across to Tokyo, Japan. So I very much think we could end up seeing the Good Brothers back in New Japan Pro Wrestling when they start doing their shows again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think they're... they are shoo-ins for going straight back.
Yeah, I certainly agree.
I couldn't really see. And I guess, like, you know, they probably also will have ties with the Elite guys. So, you know, there is the option AEW might ask for them. But then I think they probably go for that sort of deal where it's like we could work both, maybe. I don't think they're going to be the sort of people who are out of options
this. Yeah, there's a few people on this list that are just like, right, once doors are open again for wrestling shows, they are walking straight back into work. And one of those guys, I've got to think, is Drake Maverick. You know, it's Rockstar Spud. Yeah. Like, Rockstar Spud and EC3, I could definitely see those two walking right back into Impact Wrestling and just going back into being a featured act, either together or separately. But those two 100% are destined to get work as soon as this all blows over.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Drake's video was as heartbreaking as it was, and I said this on the NXT podcast yesterday, like, I just think it just shows how good he is. Like, I think it just, like, it was obviously, like, it was very raw and it was very real, and I think people connected with it, but I just think it goes to show that, like, he even put over the company in a video where he, you know, anyone else could have just gone, well, screw this,
burned all bridges.
You could have burned the bridges. You could have lost your head. You know, this is he's literally off the phone, having lost his dream job, and he's still putting over the NXT episodes that are upcoming that he's going to be featured on. I just think, like, huge props to the man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think of all the people that have come out of this, like, that video that he posted, because it just was posted moments after he got the phone call. He's been put over massively on Twitter, like, by a lot of wrestling promoters, by a lot of wrestlers, saying that, you know, if you are a wrestling promotion and you are a promoter, you need to be on the phone with this man and bring him in. Eric Young's another one.
I just think he was another one that was just underused in WWE. Just, like, you know, he barely did any ring stuff. Like,
yeah,
they just brought him in as
a management thing. Yeah, completely. Eric Young's another guy that I can see going back to Impact Wrestling. You know, that was his home for a long, long time. He got a world title run in Impact Wrestling. And, you know, he is a guy he was massively underutilized in WWE. Used to perfection in NXT. Absolutely used to perfection in NXT. But as soon as he got called up to the main roster, he made zero impact, ironically. But I couldn't see Impact Wrestling getting on the phone to bring back him. You know, he's got that Canadian connection as well, with it being now officially in a Canadian company. So yeah, so I could see something with Eric Young and Impact.
Yeah, I definitely think Impact is calling for him. I also, like, my big wonder about this is, you know, how many people are going to circulate out now and circulate back in through NXT again? Because that's kind of, I feel like, you know, if you're Triple H and you're the bookers for NXT, you're going to have very fond memories of a lot of working with a lot of these talents, and you're going to know that they're very good, and you're going to know that, like, angling to get them back on NXT while they were on Raw and SmackDown is quite difficult, because seemingly there's a bit of tribalism there and a bit of, like, these are my toys, you can't have them, about anyone going to NXT. They'll happily take people from NXT to fill gaps and do whatever, but, like, you can't have people. It needs to be some sort of clean trade.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they would just, like, you know, if depending on how much freedom they have to decide what talent they're going to bring on, whether or not they'll just hire up a bunch of these guys that they used to have.
Yeah. Primo and Epico, I would imagine we'll just stay in Puerto Rico, really, and just sort of, like, that's where they've been working as of late. So I could imagine that's probably where they'll just stick around with. No Way Jose is an interesting one. I mean, obviously, what we've been talking about here is a lot of people sort of going to companies like Impact, MLW, Ring of Honor, AEW, New Japan, etc. But No Way Jose is a kind of guy that feels to me like he's got a gimmick that you can always put onto a show, because they always said this about, you know, the Honky Tonk Man. Honky Tonk Man is one of the greatest gimmicks of all times, because he has never had to change anything he's ever done, and he has got bookings for the last 100 years, because you can just bring him in as the Honky Tonk Man. He can just come down, I got my long hair burns and my hair slick back, and he can just do all of that stuff, and, you know, dress like Elvis and everything. And people always said the same thing about the Funkasaurus, to Brodus Clay, mm-hmm. being like, look, I know you want to be a badass, but you have been given a gimmick that if you get released by WWE, you can do on any indie circuit now for the next 20 years, and people will be really happy to see it. Whether you can say the same for No Way Jose is a different matter, but mm-hmm. I can certainly see No Way Jose getting semi-regular bookings as being the party guy that comes out with the conga line.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's definitely that sort of like attraction wrestler future there. I think more interesting would be to see if he completely revamps who he is. Mm-hmm. You know, what's No Way Jose's second gimmick?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a more interesting thing to see if they come out with that. Because, like, you know, really, like, I get that people liked the conga line. I never really gelled with it. I thought it was a bit naff. Yeah. But also, like, it was a bit... Frankly, it's been very underused in WWE recently. So it's not even like it's like... I don't think it's sitting there at the front of people's minds for yeah. where, like, if he came out on an indie show, people aren't going to be like, oh, yeah, No Way Jose. Like, I think he could get away with completely changing his character. And I don't think it's going to massively affect the amount of bookings and stuff, because I don't think people are clamoring for the conga line.
No. Leo Rush is someone I could see getting some big work off the back of this in an mm-hmm. impact in a Ring of Honor. I think he'd be great in Ring of Honor. In an AEW, I could certainly see him getting some work off the back of this.
Yeah, I think he's you know, it depends on how many of those reports of him being fairly difficult are real and, you know, completely truthful. But I think he's an amazing performer. I think he's got that, he can talk, he can work. I think he's got it all. He's a total package, and WWE, you know, beyond giving him that cruiserweight championship for a very brief amount of time, which seemed like it was really done to placate him, mm-hmm. they just never bothered, you know. And he's, you know, they just put him with Lashley and said, why don't you just talk for the big man, little Leo, talk for the big man.
Kurt Angle's an interesting one. I think the, you know, Kurt Angle being released from his Legends contract really shows just how little WWE cared for him. You know, Ollie and I talked about this on the 2-hour live stream. He was hired out of spite, and he was hired for very cynical reasons, and they did not care for him. You can tell that by his retirement run and, you know, putting over Baron Corbin at the end of it. Mm-hmm. And Baron Corbin went on to do absolutely nothing. Like, I wouldn't mind so much that Baron Corbin was the man that retired Kurt Angle if Baron Corbin had then gone on to do something, but Baron Corbin went on to do nothing. You know, now he's a joke king character. So if I'm AEW, I'm certainly trying to bring him in to be either be an agent, maybe not an in-ring competitor, but certainly as an agent, or, you know, just someone who could be like a creative mind for the business. But yeah, or, you know, Impact might be on the phone with him as well. You know, he had a long stint with them.
Yeah, I think he, you know, even just to be like somebody's manager on AEW is definitely something that I think they would look to do with someone like Kurt Angle.
And they
because
love
he's
doing that as well.
Yeah, exactly. They really like that sort of like, here's a legend who you get to see, but they're not gonna, we're gonna keep them safe, and they're not, you know, not gonna do a lot of talking, but they are gonna accompany people to the ring. I guess because, you know, Tony Khan's a big wrestling nerd and just loves all the toys in his toy box. Yeah. He's just like, I just want Arn Anderson to be here. But yeah, like, I think it's not bleak for Kurt at all, is it? No. He's goddamn Kurt Angle. He's going to be fine. It's just a shame that WWE really didn't have anything for him. Like, he's still so good.
Yeah.
You know, not obviously like the wrestling side of things, but I think like Kurt Angle had the benefit of being one of the better talkers that WWE had. He had the benefit of being one of the funniest people that they ever put in sketches. And yeah, they just sort of lost interest in him quite quickly, didn't they?
Mike and Maria, Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis, I can easily see them going back to Ring of Honor. You know, mm-hmm. and going back in with Taven, 100% I can see them heading back to Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I definitely think they'd probably head back to Ring of Honor. I think, like, again, another example of WWE not really giving people the time of day. Like, they love that theme song, but they don't really like anything else about it. And like, I feel like Mike Kanellis returning to Mike Bennett, and, you know, go back to being a very good wrestler,
doing very good wrestling.
You know, yeah. That stuff is going to be a lot of fun.
Sarah Logan, if I'm AEW, I'm getting on the phone to her as well, because if there's one thing that AEW has struggled with since its launch, it's not even since the Dynamite years, since its launch, since day one, is they haven't had a particularly strong women's division. They have done a lot to build that. You know, they have been doing a lot to get people like Britt Baker. The heel turns really worked for her, Hikaru Shida. You know, they've been doing some stuff with Big Swole and Chris Statlander. But yeah, I think having someone like Sarah Logan on there, I think would really help them massively. Really, really would. I don't know if the same could be said for Eric Rowan, though. I don't know where you go with it with an Eric Rowan. I've seen a few people say that he could go to AEW and join the Dark Order alongside Brody Lee and kind of like bring back that connection again. But
I don't think Brody Lee would want that. I know they're friends, but I don't think Brody's going to be like, oh yeah, let's just go back to what WWE were doing. I feel like his gimmick is kind of... It's obviously using the context of having been sort of a WWE failure to power it in some degrees, but I don't think he's going to be like, well, let's make all the same mistakes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And lastly, the one that I am probably very I'm most excited for. You know, not excited for them to lose their job. I want to stress that now, but excited for the future of what they can do. And it's something that I was thinking about yesterday. Of just like, you know, your episode of an AEW Dynamite where someone's in the ring cutting a promo and all of a sudden just like and Aiden English coming out, because you know, if I'm AEW and I'm looking at this list of people, the first two names that jump off to me are Aiden English and Rusev, and you reunite those two and you do Rusev Day, which was such a popular gimmick and such a massively over gimmick that it was being chanted way after they'd given up on it. You know, like, they were trying for Rusev Day in segments he wasn't in, you know, because people liked the Rusev Day gearing. If you just change that to Miro Day and you just do the same thing, but you do it in a different company. And I think there's a lot of money left on the table with Rusev.
I also think you could toughen Rusev up, go back to some of the earlier Rusev stuff, you know, from the John Cena days, and you can just have yourself a top heel. Like you know, I think Rusev is a great performer. I think he's a very funny man. I think he's capable of so much stuff, and he never really got that push he needed in WWE. He was always, you know, he was classic. It's classic timing thing, obviously, of being like, I'm in there with John Cena, who has to win because he is America. He is Mr. America man. So you know, you end up losing that kind of swing in WWE, but I think AEW would be happier to put a big heel on top. And you know, I could see him being the TNT champion for a long time. I think he's somebody that has got a massive future ahead of him. And I think a pairing of Aiden English, even if it's not just the Rusev Day thing, even if Aiden English is just the mouthpiece for a more vicious version of Rusev, that would also be amazing.
Yeah, completely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I think, you know, to look at the positive side of this very, very horrible news that's come out this week is that once this is all said and done, there's work out there for people. You know, that's what they were always saying, like last year, was an incredibly exciting year for not just pro wrestling fans but for pro wrestlers themselves, because like now more than ever there had been more places to work and people willing to pay money to get wrestlers. So maybe once this is all blown over, we'll be in the same situation, you know, as long as a lot of these companies can survive. Right, before we get into the mailbag, let's quickly recap the Wednesday night ratings war. And surprisingly, it was another win for NXT, 2 weeks on the bounce, which I was really surprised by, because I mean, you know, AEW have got to see this as quite a big loss. It's not massive in numbers because it's only, you know, it's less than 10, it's 9,000 viewers. But even so, you were heavily promoting a world title match and it lost out by, you know, it was down 1% from last week. It won in the 18 to 49 demographic, but NXT basically drew the exact same number they did last week, which is a great result for them.
I think it's this key though, isn't it? It's like that NXT has always had this very faithful audience even after AEW started up, you know, like not many people migrated from NXT to AEW. I think a lot of people who were watching Raw and SmackDown started tuning in to Wednesday night television to watch AEW instead of watching Raw and SmackDown, maybe. But I don't think many people who were already watching NXT decided to leave that. So I think you've got this really hardcore base who are still basically getting the show that they were getting anyway. And I don't think a lot... NXT also doesn't look remarkably different by not having an audience there. It's obviously like it's not as vibey to not have the Full Sail crowd going crazy because they were a big part of the show, and you know Mara's not on it as much. But I don't think mechanically the show has changed all that much. I think on AEW's hand, where they were doing big arenas and it had this huge, you know, had this throwback WCW Nitro feel, like this is such a different show.
Yeah.
Now, and I think that is going to put off a lot of the people who, you know, the exact sort of people who were clamoring for a throwback wrestling show to relive the glory days and, you know, have something that was more focused on proper wrestling. They're just going to watch that and feel like it's too different.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be less lenient about it changing.
And it is like, they feel like pre-taped shows. You know, the last few weeks of Dynamite have really felt like pre-taped shows. And that, you know, there's always that argument of live is going to draw better than pre-taped, you know, more often than not. And yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right there. The NXT have very much had it. It's got its loyal audience, whereas the AEW audience was, I think, a more of a curious audience. You know, in the early weeks of the shows, the data proved that during commercial breaks, the AEW audience was flipping over to NXT to see what was going on there. But the same was not going the other way. NXT audience were just watching NXT through the ad breaks. They weren't flipping over to the other channel.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon at any dollar amount and leave a comment in the community tab labeled mailbag. Don't email me, I will just lose it. And we will answer them on every Friday show, like these fine folks. Simon says, lovely beard boys. I was curious about when you first started to live that beard life. Beard life, this is basic thugonomics. Personally, when I graduated high school, I went traveling for a year and decided I didn't want to bother with shaving during that time. So I grew my beard for the first time that year, and I not only enjoyed the way it looked, but I also liked the laziness of not shaving. Now I only trim my beard when I feel like it's getting too long. P.S. It's been snowing here recently, and I'm unsure if I'm being quarantined so long that I missed summer completely, and it's now winter again. What is time?
I mean, what is time is probably the, also the, I think the what is time is one of the key questions, as well as like, am I hungry or am I just bored? those are really the big questions of the universe at this exact moment in time.
Yeah.
Am I tired? Am I just bored? Like, yeah. I keep having that dilemma every day, being like, do I need a nap or am I just genuinely so bored that I can't be bothered to be awake anymore?
Yeah.
And it's always the second option. I started growing my beard when I was 25. So that was 7 years ago. And I just sort of, I think I just got bored of shaving my face completely. So I was like, well, let's just see how this goes. And then I sort of was like, oh, it's actually growing in quite full. I'll leave it. I imagine if it was growing in with gaps, I would have been like, no, never. but yeah, I was fairly blessed in that regard.
I was going to say, I think when I first met you, you were beardless. And then, yeah, one day I saw you again and you just had this full beard in your face. I was like, oh, well, that's new.
There we go.
Yeah, mine was, yeah, sort of in my mid-20s, I decided to grow a beard. I've always wanted to grow a beard, but, I mean, as you can tell by this, I can't grow a full beard, but otherwise I would have had a full beard. I just get these sort of, like, wisps of hair on the side of my face. I did try last year. Last year was going to be my big push to grow a beard, and I was like, but it never really
pushing
worked.
Pushing down. Yeah. Push down on the top, and it comes out.
Which is frustrating as well, because my brother has got this, like, big, like, luscious... bushy beard.
It's in there, Luke. You just need to coax it out some way.
Yeah. Chris says, thank you, lads, for continuing the content in these hard times. Brian Alvarez recently said that old Vince McMahon would fire current day Vince McMahon if he saw today's product. At what point do you think old Vince would have said, enough, you're fired? I don't know if I agree with Alvarez on that point. I think old Vince would still like today's product.
Look, I mean... old Vince is the same as new Vince, current Vince, because old Vince is motivated by money and WWE is making more money than they ever made before. So I don't think he particularly gives a flying F about what's on the TV.
Yeah.
You know, grand scheme of things, I think he's... If you actually cared what the product was on telly, you wouldn't throw out the scripts every Monday.
Yeah. And rewrite everything.
When you turned up,
yeah.
You know, you wouldn't rewrite everything in 5 hours, because that's not how you get a good TV show. You would hire these really good TV writers that you've hired, and you would probably take them at their word for what they've written.
Yeah.
Because you'd be like, well, I trust you. He's never wanted to produce a TV company properly. He's just wanted to have a vehicle for making a lot of money and that he can also just have complete creative control over.
He is a wrestling promoter that hates wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Josh says, hello, boys. I wanted to follow up on my last mailbag submission and tell you thank you so much for letting me know about StreamYard. It was exactly what I needed to get back into making content again. Puts no stress whatsoever on my computer. Also wanted to say that Quizzlemania is an absolute blast. I've been crushing it along playing at home. Would you ever consider having Patreon? Come on the show and play with you. I mean, we get shown up enough as it is with our guests, let alone more people coming on to show us up.
Brian's crazy good. Like, just knows things.
I was editing the podcast version of it today and I was quite annoyed because I did really well during Paper Feud. That was the one I did terrible. I got Rumble before him, but I did get the wrong WrestleMania. WrestleMania before. Because I always get... Because it's WrestleMania 2000 was the year after. For whatever reason in my head, that's WrestleMania 15 to me. And I've no idea why. It just feels like it's such a round number. And it shouldn't be 16, which is daft, because then I know the one after that is X7. So I should just be able to subtract one from that. But anyway. But yeah, maybe we could always look to having Patreons on board. And if we ever do a live show, we'll have live people in from the audience. Adam says, hey, Wrestle Talker and Wrestle Twerkers. Adam from sunny Manchester, locked down and locked in with the excellent content you guys have been producing as of late. Big up and many thanks. I was hoping you might be able to answer something that I've always wondered. Each of your review shows on YouTube has the viewer's opinion poll, which the viewers vote from 1 to 5, with somewhat comical grading scale thrown into the mix. What I want to know is, do you ever do anything with these stats? At the moment, I can only tell that they let the viewers know what their votes lie amongst other Wrestle Twerkers, or whatever name you've created for the YouTube Wrestle Talk Swafters. I believe they've not been named yet, so please consider that. I digress. I'm a fan of data and stats, and the data nerd in me would love to see weekly TV viewing figures, pay-per-view viewers buying, and star ratings from the WrestleTalk crews and the viewers all in one place. I'm not sure what this would accomplish, but I do believe it would make a fascinating overview of all the products and utilize the data that I know Mr. Davis would love to drool over on a magazine show. Much love, Adam Nicholson. That to me sounds like, I mean, if someone wants to take that on as a project, as a fan project, and you know, you can give us all that data come the end of the year for an end of review show, yeah, I'm not going to say no, but it's not something I'm going to do because I've got too much on as it is.
I don't like stats. I think Ollie would like it.
Yeah, Ollie would love that, but he's got even less time than we have. Martin, do the Revival have a 90-day no-compete clause as they've been released, meaning they can't wrestle until Thursday the 10th of July? So from what we know, and I'm pretty sure this is the case, they were given an immediate release, which means they could have gone to work somewhere else the very next day. It's very different to just being released from your contract. This was an immediate release. So yeah, so they could have showed up on AEW this week if they, you know, if they chose. Well, I mean, they couldn't have because it was pre-taped, but they could have done a video package if they wanted to. Frank Patella said, sup lads, I just finished watching The Main Event on Netflix, which is basically one big WWE commercial with cringe acting and awful dialogue that's not even from The Miz. But I loved it. It was fun. And seeing Otis and Keith Lee in a Netflix movie was a treat. But I just wish the premise was more like Shazam and the kid turned into an adult wrestler. Maybe, I don't know. Keith Lee, I see what he says here. It's like, The kid turned into an adult wrestler, maybe, I don't know, Keith Lee. I think Keith Lee portraying a boy that turns into Keith Lee would be excellent. Book it, Netflix. Have you seen The Main Event? Do you guys plan on seeing it? What did you think of it and my little fantasy booking of it? Thank you for the great content. I'm still waiting for that Ollie Quizzlemania underdog win. Oh, you'll be waiting a long time there, Frank. I have not seen The Main Event yet. I was going to make the suggestion that we do like a watch-along party of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. That would probably be the way for me to actually watch the movie.
We also do the one that there's another one, isn't there, where it's like a dog becomes a wrestler and there's a monkey who's the promoter. I can't remember what it's called, but John Morrison's in it.
Are you thinking of Scooby-Doo?
No. It's like legitimately like this dog becomes a wrestler and the monkey's a promoter and John Morrison's in the film.
Amazing.
I don't know what it was on Amazon Prime. I don't know, but we should do that and then The Main Event.
Yeah.
A doubleheader.
And the Big Show. Because we had an email from someone I think it was an Instagram suggestion that we should do a watch along party of it because they couldn't make it through 15 minutes of the film, but if we were there we might be able to help him get through the whole thing. Gavin said, hi guys, hope you're doing well. My question is, if Ted DiBiase Jr. was to sign for AEW, would you prefer him to feud or tag with Cody? P.S. Thanks for all this content through these bad times, helping me fight the boredom. One more thing, Ollie, please use a Guinness glass. It looks wrong. I'm Irish. Yeah, I did see. I tuned in for a little bit of Quizzlemania last night. The lunatic was drinking out of a can.
I know. So was I, but...
Yeah, but whatever. That's Stella. That's a different thing, man. Yeah.
It only exists in cans, as far as I know.
So if Ted DiBiase Jr. signed for AEW, I think I'd prefer to see him as a singles guy as opposed to tag with Cody. I don't know if there's enough nostalgic sort of resonance or sort of want for a... God, what was that team called again? Legacy, for like a Legacy reunion. Dylan said, hey lads, a few months ago I sent a mailbag question asking what wrestling moments your lady partners didn't understand. This was shortly after I watched Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair with my lady partner, and she didn't understand the emotional finish to the match, and she said Shawn should be ashamed of he let an old guy get as much offense in as he did. On the flip side of that, what moments in wrestling did your lady partners actually enjoy? A former girlfriend of mine was fascinated by matches involving Andre the Giant and Big Show due to their size. My current lady partner really enjoys supernatural characters like Taker, Kane, the Fiend, and said the Firefly Funhouse match was the best thing she's ever seen in wrestling. My wife does not like wrestling, and I don't think she has seen bits and pieces. Like, we watched WrestleMania 30 together. I don't think she came off the back of that being like, I like that thing or I like that thing. I think her overall takeaway was, it's not for me.
This is very silly. my missus isn't massively keen on wrestling. So I watched bits of it. She liked Johnny Gargano, one of the Johnny Gargano matches. I think it was the Andrade match. And she got into that. But there's been a few, like, you know, 90% of the time she'll just be on her phone.
There's Instagram to be done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Matt Field, I've been reliably informed she's very good at Instagram.
Yeah. She is. Yeah. There's a lot of me on it. I've been told to just be an actor now in a lot of Instagram stories.
Every now and again, I'll just hear my wife will be chuckling. I'll be like, you're right there. I was like, yeah, it's just Laurie's girlfriend on Instagram. Matt Field, hello Luke, Adam and the Wrestle Talk team. I want to thank you for constantly keeping up content despite the Steve Corino outbreak. During this, I've only left the house twice in 3 weeks and my depression is slowly starting to become harder to deal with. Your content, especially through Mania, I can start to forget a little. Anyway, my question is, now that WrestleMania is over, who in your opinion is the best fit for Drew's first feud? Funny enough, I think it's Rollins. I think they have actually made the right call with Seth being the first guy for Drew to beat.
Yeah, I think Seth's a really good choice. I think Drew needs another big heel to go against, and Rollins is like, you know, I think Rollins is also at the peak of his heelness.
Yeah.
He really is the best heel that Raw has, I think.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Baron Corbin's the purest heel that WWE has in general, I think, because he's actually the only person people don't want to see win ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you've got, I think Rollins is just a great choice.
Yeah. It makes literally no sense because, you know, he lost at WrestleMania, but at the same time, I guess, you know, wins and losses don't really matter. And yeah, it's just, they don't have another top heel on Raw that Drew can go up against. Annoyingly, actually, Andrade would have been a really good shout because I was really excited. Like, when he came out to interrupt Drew's promo on Raw, I was like, oh yes, Drew versus Andrade is his first feud. That's a great shout. But then he beat him in a matter of minutes. Flaming Live, with The Fiend targeting past feud, we all know about Roman, Randy, Undertaker, and currently Braun, but we all forget New Day, so tell me what you think. We have Bray and Fiend versus The New Day, where he finally seduces Xavier Woods into the funhouse and turns him into a puppet, where Big E and Kofi have to go into the funhouse to save their friend, only for Big E to have changed at the end of it and become heel and turn on New Day, and we can have that Big E turn, heel turn that we all want. Do we want a Big E heel turn?
I feel like people keep hammering that nail and it's not going in, is it? It's they've been beating that drum and it's not making sweet, sweet music.
This is a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah, I do not think we need a Big E heel turn. No. I think New Day is perfectly fine to perennially be baby faces and just stay together forever because they're so good together. Like, I don't know what... I think Big E as a heel would lose all of his character. And I think, like, I think what's so compelling about the New Day is quite clearly those three guys are just being themselves.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Like, they can all go their separate ways and, like, go into being single stars themselves, but I don't think you need to do a heel turn split with any of them. Although I do like the idea of Xavier was doing a Firefly Funhouse. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think, like, I definitely think... Because we talk about this actually for Explained, which is coming out next week.
An excellent series. You should go check it out.
And thank you. On parts, fun known. I was talking to a film and wrestling journalist called Tom Beasley about it, and we were saying, like, who would have been the ideal candidate for to make the Fiend actually like a character that you want to see lose? Because this is the issue that you have with the Fiend. Like, the kind of episode is looking at the Fiend's matches and his presentation as sort of like a horror character, and we're saying that obviously, like, in horror films, you root for generally speaking, you root for the killer for the first like half an hour, 40 minutes, and then you start to root for whoever's going to be the survivor. And in the Fiend's case, in every match, the problem is everyone wants to see the Fiend win.
Yeah.
So who could emerge? You know, like, they tried to bill Seth Rollins as the final girl of a horror film, and it didn't work because people didn't want Seth Rollins to win. So who would have been the person to pitch as a final girl? And we said, like, Daniel Bryan's a great choice because Daniel Bryan has had trials and tribulations and overcome struggles. Kofi Kingston at peak Kofi Mania would have been the best way to make the Fiend a heel.
Yeah.
Like, if the Fiend had attacked Kofi when Kofi was the WWE champion and set off this whole feud, everyone would have bought Kofi winning at the end because everyone would have actually wanted Kofi to retain.
Yeah, no, completely agree. Ryan Sanderson, hey guys, hope you're doing well during this situation. Any form of escapism is much needed right now, so your work is very much appreciated. In the spirit of Money in the Bank, as well as big sweaty men slapping meat, if you could create a big man only Money in the Bank ladder match, who would be in that match? Does not have to be limited to wrestlers signed with WWE. Right. Keith Lee.
Dijak.
Dijak. Damian Priest. Yep. Yeah, I mean, there's your three right there. Brock.
Big E,
Goldberg.
Goldberg.
Yeah. Goldberg going in as the ultimate heel that no one wants to win.
Yeah, and he can keep spearing ladders in half as everyone's climbing them.
And you could have that moment when it's Brock and Goldberg at the top of the ladder for the ultimate nuclear heat. I'm just like, no, anyone but you two.
Sorry, I'm going to actually swap out Goldberg for PCO.
Oh, there it is. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Old Frankenstein himself. That guy who wants to support simply asks, why does Ronda Rousey hate us?
Because people keep telling her that other people are as tough as her, and that's not true. I think she's quite sensitive, really. But I also think maybe Lana winding her up, saying like people get injured in this, and it's like it's not what she was saying.
Yeah,
she, you know, I think what she was saying was that, you know, we can't pretend that this is a combat sport in the same way that combat sports are combat sports. This is a sport in which people get hurt, but it's an athletic performance. Combat sports is someone has genuinely punched you in the face, and you are bleeding, and they are trying to legitimately make you pass out by choking you.
And it's, I do think that it's all 100% a work, and it's just to, you know, because they were asking Shayna Baszler about the interviews on Raw this week. So it's 100% trying to lead back into a storyline for Ronda to come in. I would argue, though, that it's a bad storyline, because Ronda is telling us all that it's fake. So if Ronda then goes in and loses, so she's lost a fake fight, who cares? And like, and who cares that the person who won a fake fight? Like, you know, that doesn't matter anything.
Yeah. But then, I guess that's the thing. Like, you know, I feel like maybe they have to do that because maybe the egomania is there. Just like I am a legitimate fighter and I cannot lose to this Irish lass.
Nicholas Walton says, "Greetings, you lovely lads. Due to current events, I've lost my job." Sorry to hear that, Nicholas.
Oh, sorry, man.
And also, my asthma makes me a high risk. Man, due to these facts, I can no longer live in 2020. So I've decided I'm going to live in 1999. I've compiled a list of every wrestling show I can watch from WWF, WCW, and ECW I can watch that year. My list also contains cartoons and a few choice movies from that year. Are there any obscure or bizarre movie and TV show recommendations from 1999 that you can add to my list?
God, I can't ever remember. I can't remember the dates of things. Dates is like my worst thing. What was 90s?
Specifically like, 99.
Specifically 90s.
Let's have a look. Let's have a look at the yearly domestic for... I'm on Box Office Mojo at the moment. Go to 1999. I know you obviously got like Star Wars and Matrix and things like that. Austin Powers Spy Who Shagged Me. Ooh, Blair Witch Project was 99. Wild Wild West. American Pie. Oh, Pokemon the First Movie. Mewtwo Strikes Back.
Ah, there you go. Watch Pokemon. Because also you could watch... I feel like the first series was airing in 99 as well, so you could watch that.
Yep.
You could play Pokemon Red and Blue, because I believe they came out in the UK in 99.
Mystery Men, if you want to sort of obscure comic book movie. Dogma, Kevin Smith Dogma came out in 99. Baby Geniuses, one of the worst things I've ever seen from my life. Blast from the Past... Saving Private Ryan.
I mean, there's some good cartoons as well. You could watch some of the series of Hey Arnold. You could watch Powerpuff Girls.
Mm-hmm.
These are all great choices.
Good choice of year. Oh,
you
mate.
Just miss out on Pinky and the Brain, though, because Pinky and the Brain finished airing in 1998. So.
Dang. Callum says, "Hey, WrestleTalk, my question is to do with AEW. When it started last year, I got other people into it that were previously wrestling fans and thought the pay-per-view was great and loved Moxley." I'm assuming that's in reference to Double or Nothing. My question is, have you ever tried to get people that used to be into wrestling into AEW? P.S. Hope you guys are doing okay. This is my last mailbag due to money problems at the moment, but I will always support WrestleTalk. Well, we thank you very, very much for your support, Callum.
Thanks.
Long, long support from Callum. So I did send a friend of ours the trailer that they did for Dynamite. Because he's a lapsed fan, and he said that it looked really cool, and he kind of was like into the idea of watching it, but then never watched it. So, and yeah, there's very rare times where I've had people who don't really watch wrestling that then ask to watch wrestling, or I then suggest that they watch wrestling, because if they're not into it, then it's kind of hard to make the conversion.
I mean, it's also one of those things. It's just like in the UK, unless you have Sky, you know, or BT Sport now, it's not on, is it, really? Like, you know, we can't, it's not an easy way to just watch wrestling. It's not, and also, like, people's viewing habits aren't, you know, a lot of my consumption of wrestling when I was a kid was around other people's houses. It was on when I walked in the room.
Yeah.
And then we'd watch a bit of wrestling. Or, you know, I stayed up on Sunday and watched WCW on Channel 5. But, like, it's not really baked into our schedules now to just leave the telly on.
No.
On random channels and just watch stuff. So, like, unless it's on a streaming service that I'm actually using,
Yeah.
It's kind of hard. And, you know, and then for me to then suggest that to someone else, be like, yeah, if you just type in this random thing or you sign up to WWE Network, maybe you'll like wrestling again. It's like, okay, well.
Yeah, that,
you
know, that, you can that's only ever
suggest
to
people illegal. You can only suggest to people illegal links, basically, then at that point, isn't yeah. it? So, like, you can go watch it illegally, but it's like, that's not a good thing to do.
Maybe when Disney buys WWE, that's when people will start watching it again. Mm-hmm. El Coco Benjamin Rubio says, due to the current situation, I decided now is the time more than ever to support you guys on Patreon, since I'm saving money by working from home. It was a no-brainer to send some of it your way. Well, thank you very, very much for that. We
thank
really
so
appreciate
much.
It. I've been a fan since Ollie started doing solo work with the WrestleTalk Hall of Fame and Adam was still with What Culture. In my opinion, Luke joining was one of the best things to happen in the early days of the Swaff Nation because Wrestle Ramble was born. Hearing you guys discuss and debate wrestling news or topics was one of the things I looked forward to during the week back when Luke was still wearing his hat. Honestly thought Laurie was just a crossover guy from Cultaholic when they were first getting started. Here's my question. It may have been answered in a previous mailbag, but I was just wondering, how did each of you guys get involved with WrestleTalk? Wasn't around much in 2019, so I have no idea how Pete, Andy, and Simon were introduced. Love you guys. Stay safe. P.S. Glad to see Adam back. Also, Ollie playing That's My Line is the best thing on the internet. Ooh, it's a sweaty moment. It's a sweaty, sweaty round watching him play that. I have been podcasting with Ollie now for over 10 years at this point. I think we did our first podcast together in 2009. So we've just known each other for quite some time and worked together on a movie blog. And he said that he needed some people to come in to help him with the load because the channel was growing. I was like, sounds good. Sign me up. My job was coming to an end at that point. I was on a contract basis and it was like, yeah, we're not going to renew your contract. And I was like, that's fair enough. Guess I'll go work with Ollie then. And now I'm here.
And here we are. You went on holiday and now here I am.
Exactly.
And then Pete was hired. Pete worked for the website. Mm-hmm. We met Pete at Wrestling Media Con. He was doing some of the ferrying of talent around. Did a bit of stuff with us. And then he said, we were looking for presenters to come in and do stuff for Screen Stalker when that was starting up. And Pete put his name in the hat. And we were like, we like Pete. We'll get Pete.
Pete's a nice guy.
Housemate Simon. It was just my housemate. That's how he got in.
Pretty much.
He also, works in TV. So, he can film and edit. And we needed a filming and editing person. So we brought in a filming and editing person.
And Andy was also...
who also likes wrestling.
And Andy was also a WrestleTalk.com writer. I think it was our first full-time hire for WrestleTalk.com, if I remember correctly. And that was at MediaCon. I think that's when we sort of made the decision. And Pete was just so happened to sort of be close to the area at that point. And Andy said, we need some extra hands. And he was like, okay, I'll come down. And, worked out well for him. Dwayne Cooley, just a few questions to get your opinions on. The last three or four episodes of Being the Elite have shown having matches in a tennis court with a ring, and I was intrigued to see an episode of Dynamite take place there. Granted, it's technically at one of the Jacksons' house, but while quarantining is a thing, it would be nice to switch it up. What do you guys think?
I definitely think the option is there now. So, break the form of wrestling. We're so used to seeing things presented in the exact way that they've been presented since the 1980s, since even earlier. This whole, it's a show, there are fans, there's a ring in the middle of the thing. This is the time to mess with it and do things like make a more backyard wrestling style show, make more cinematic matches, really screw with how you could make a TV show about wrestling without having wrestling presented in the way that wrestling is always presented.
Yeah.
I think it's a really interesting time.
Have you seen the Big Show show? I recommend it. It's actually pretty funny. Not seen it yet.
No, not yet.
And lastly, I've watched Dark Side of the Ring. I always love a documentary. I didn't know this series existed until the Benoit episode, so I went back and watched them all. Do you guys have any wrestling documentary recommendations? Wrestling with Shadows and Beyond the Mat, the first two that spring to mind. From the WWE side of things, Rise and Fall of ECW is a great DVD. It's a great documentary. And I'm always going to have a soft spot for the ultimate hit piece, The Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior. It is, I mean, if you are not a fan of the Ultimate Warrior and you want to spend an hour and 20 minutes watching people dunk on him and just hate on him for, for an hour and 20 minutes, you know, you're in luck, mate, because that DVD exists. And it's and you know, they had to apologize to him for it, for releasing it and for making up a lot of lies. But you know, it's a wild, wild watch.
I recently watched the Ruthless Aggression documentary again, and I think that's quite an interesting look at a specific period of WWE and specific talents. Weirdly presented, because obviously it's doing that WWE thing of like, it's semi shoot and it's semi work, but it's like, it is fascinating to sort of see the backstage machinations of how all these certain talents emerged at the same time.
It's worth it all for the archive as well. Like, the archive footage that WWE have got access to is just, it's unreal. And like, and I think, you know, the 24 documentary series that they do are really good as well. The Ruthless Aggression one is funny if you can sort of like look past the very much sort of like, well, a lot of the lies that they tell in that, just like, hey, Vince McMahon had the genius idea of changing WWF to WWE and that saved the company. It's like, well, that's not quite what happened, really, was it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's some glossing over of some very obvious issues. There's some heavy cutting around Chris Benoit, which I think is one of my, like, he's in a lot of shots, but he is, it's just a pair of tights.
Chris Thorne, guys, I've just realized WWE might actually be telling the best story they can with Kane and Brock Lesnar. Kane Velasquez, obviously. Mm-hmm. Kane came to WWE for revenge for his godson against the person he absolutely destroyed in UFC. He lost the MMA fight so badly he got injured and needed months off to recover. During that recovery time, Rey Mysterio teaches Velasquez to do lucha things, and now he finally gets revenge on Brock Lesnar, not only for Dominic, but also his injury. Or, you know, Kane could just come back and have the exact same style of match with Brock at SummerSlam, making me look like a giant knob. Do you think the storyline is perfect, or have I just lost it? I don't know if I would say it's perfect, but I would imagine that he will just come back and have a UFC-style fight.
Yeah, I think they want that. Yeah. They're looking for those crossover talents, and they're looking for them to do things that they do. So they, you know, they want Tyson Fury to punch people. They want Cain Velasquez to do an MMA style fight. You know, like, you only have to look to Ronda Rousey really to see the blueprint of what they want to do with people from the UFC. You know, she's definitely more, you know, Brock had the benefit of having been a wrestler first, then gone to UFC, then come back. So he just carried on sort of doing a far lazier version of what he was doing before.
Yeah.
And now we've got Cain Velasquez, who's probably going to punch people in the head. And I don't think they're going to want him to do lucha stuff, because they want to push him as Cain Velasquez, that guy you know from UFC, not Cain Velasquez, the masked luchador.
Yeah. Last couple here from Abnahav. Hey, Luke and Laurie, I know it's a very hard time. My support goes to all the wrestlers and staff released. My question isn't this the time the experienced and well-do stars of WWE make a joint statement against management? I do mean Roman Reigns, Owens, Rollins, Lynch, Flair, AJ Styles. Isn't this the time to be a locker room leader? What do you think? Well, I think that's what Seth tried to do yesterday. Or, you know, over the last couple of days with his Instagram story, or his Instagram live, whatever he did. I think that's what he was trying to do, was to rally everyone together to be like, you know, we are all in this together. He just worded some of it quite poorly. I don't think he intended to say, don't blame WWE for this. They're the good guy in this story. I don't think that's what he intended to say, but that's borderline what he did say. I think he was just trying to show sort of like support for all the guys and girls that unfortunately have lost their jobs.
It's very difficult though, because it's such a fragile situation to be in, isn't it? As you know, WWE turned around one day and they rang a bunch of people, and those people don't have jobs anymore. And they can, because of the way they've set up the way they hire wrestlers, they can do that with anyone. So like Seth Rollins he's equally seconds away from being on the chopping block. So like, you don't want to put a foot wrong and rally together, and you know, like, yeah, if you could get everyone to I am Spartacus this thing, sure, you might have a bit of a leg to stand on. But you know, you don't want to, in this situation, they could probably get through the next couple of months of TV without Seth Rollins, so they could put him out to pasture for a bit and ask him to come back later. I don't know, like, I don't think they would.
No.
But you don't want to, this is definitely not the time to annoy people who are I guess protecting themselves from financial disaster.
And lastly, from Irakli, do you think it's possible to make Firefly Funhouse matches or Boneyard matches in the style of Black Mirror's Bandersnatch?
Ooh,
that is a very great cool idea. That's how you get people to subscribe to the network. Is doing a Bandersnatch style episode of Firefly Funhouse. That's a great idea.
But that's also another way that you could do, you know, you could also sell those types of things to Netflix as a pusher to WWE, you know, which is what they're hoping, I guess, like the Main Event does, and they're hoping the Big Show show does. Like, you know, they want these things to push people back to WWE, the regular wrestling programming and the WWE network. So why not just actually put it on Netflix if you're going to make this? They've got the technology. They've already developed it. I would do it. Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
How's your shopping habits with all of this lockdown? How are you finding it all?
Oh yeah, fine. We're fairly well stocked up, to be fair. Like, we did a gigantic Tesco shop before any of this ever happened, so we weirdly managed to stockpile ahead of people actually stockpiling, just because we were bored of going to Tesco's every evening and being like, what should we eat for dinner? So we just did a big shop, but it was like a very big shop, and we've been living off that. And then we just had to go to the shops to get fresh, you know, fruit and veg, nice, which has been good. So yeah, I think we've kind of navigated it quite well. We've gone out, you know, go once a week basically, or, you know, twice a week at a push to go get stuff, but I feel like we're isolating well.
I was going to say what was the question I was going to ask you? That was it. I did the Pilgrim Pizza last week.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
It was really nice, actually. It went really, really well. We were slightly concerned that it was going to go a bit tits up, because obviously my wife is a bit gluten intolerant. So we thought that it might not have like the stretch that it really needs. And it was a bit breaky because it doesn't have like the gluten in there to kind of hold it all together, but it did work really well. And
it's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, it was brilliant. So yeah, we did that like first thing Saturday morning, was to put the dough together and let it prove for the rest of the day, and had lovely pizzas in the evening. So yeah, I can't recommend it enough. I thought it was great.
Pizza Pilgrims. I don't know what their website is, but check it out.
Yeah.
They've got the recipe for their... They also are the nicest people. They're very nice, nice people.
Yeah, I thought that was great. And also made a wicked cake last week. Made a vanilla sponge, because I'm into baking now, because I've got to find something to do during all of this. Made a vanilla sponge with a maple buttercream that I made from scratch. However, the recipe that we had for it had like, you know, X amount of butter, X amount of caster sugar, and we put in, it was 4 cups of caster sugar to kind of like make this buttercream, and we put in 2 of those cups and had a quick taste, and good lord, it was sweet. It was so sickly sweet, and I was like, I don't want to add another 2 cups. It's not firming it up, that was the problem, though. It then didn't make actually buttercream, it just made a drizzle basically. But it was so sweet. I was like, we can't put any more of this. So if we do it again, we're just going to sort of half the ingredients.
The problem with baking is that you end up eating all the baked goods very quickly, I think, is the problem. We made cookies the other day, and they were gone within a day.
Yep.
It's just like,
yeah, we made.
I've just eaten 6 cookies today, so brilliant.
We made a full cake. This was like a stacked cake as well, with like the buttercream frosting in the middle. And by, you know, we did it on Saturday. By Monday, it was starting to go a little bit dry. And we're like, well, now we've got to eat it even quicker. So, you know, we're eating an entire cake in between the two of us in the span of a couple of days. It.
It's like Taika Waititi said, we're all going to come out of this looking like the people from Wall-E. Just all we've done is look at screens and sit down for however long.
Or Fat Thor from Endgame.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you
no longer
got
worthy to wield Mjolnir, meow meow.
Have you got anything you might be doing this weekend?
God no. Doing stuff is for losers. Doing stuff is for people who are allowed outside, I think. I've got a quiz tonight, Luke.
Yes, quiz, mate.
And I've got a quiz tomorrow.
You're doing another quiz tomorrow?
Yeah,
mate, that's 3 quizzes on the bounce.
I hate quizzes. I hate them.
Speaking of which, how did you find Quizlemania last night?
Dislike. It was perfectly fun. I don't think people gelled with my I don't like quizzes character, but whatever. I think people thought it was people are saying it devalues Brian's win that I wasn't taking it seriously. I don't think so. I think Brian did very well. Brian likes quizzes. Brian knows WWE trivia. I can't remember anything if you ask me about it.
Yeah. I tuned in for a little bit, so I saw the second half of Whose Nips Are These and all of That's My Line. So I got to see those two rounds, and then me and my wife decided to watch MasterChef instead.
Yeah, exactly. So good content.
Yeah. Well, it's because also like
doing the quiz.
Also, my wife, like I just said, can I just tune in and just see how the quiz is going? I just want to see what the numbers are looking like. Because bearing in mind, this is supposed to be like our date night, and now they're going like, yeah, no, but you know, I just want to check in on work and just see how that's getting on. Then after a while, I was like, oh, I can feel her already itching to be like, you know, she's laughing, but she wants to watch MasterChef. So, so we did stop watching it. But once we finished MasterChef, I did tune in for just a little bit while I was brushing my teeth to see that Ollie was on like 30 odd points and Brian was on 70 odd points. Now I was like, oh, wow, Brian's done well.
Yeah, he broke triple digits. he was very good at wrestling knowledge. And also, whose nipples are these?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. He knew all the tattoos. He knew all the nipples. Crazy.
Well, I highly recommend people go check that out because the podcast version is available. If you search for Quizzlemania with two Z's or two Z's, if you're British, in your podcast feed, you will find it. It's a lot of fun. To subscribe to the podcast version on that one, Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and wherever you get your podcast from, as well as this podcast and my podcast Under Consultation, which I will also plug, and No Rolls Barred. We're a podcast machine currently. And we are filling up people's time during all of this. And speaking of which, we're going to get out of here now because we've got to go have our morning meeting with the team in just a few moments. We will speak to you again next week. We've got the Raw Review, AW NXT, all the usual good stuff. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.